Okay. We are back to indexes. Okay, so I think we covered everything in the indexes and introduction. But I'm just going to look at it quickly. Wow, it really is bright.
Yeah, this is like my screen.
We got a new projector for you, so you're at home, and we're going to periodically comment on how bright it is. Okay, so what we have here is a series of constraints. And what I think we saw is that if you use the word constraint, which we discovered I can't spell, if you use the word constraint, that gives the thing a name. So that when you go and say, okay, what constraints are there on this particular file, you can see the things and can see the particular name. Okay, but you can also do these without names. So you can have check, which allows you to put in certain specifications. You can have a foreign key that relates. You can have a primary key, which is the unique key that uniquely identifies every row. You can set up a column that can't be null. But there's a problem with doing that if you don't do it right at the beginning. Because if you try to add a column to one that has existing data in it, as you found out, then when you add a column to it, all those records now have that null, and that's illegal. So you have to remove the null constraint if you have to add a column and then put the null constraint back in. Unique requires that a column be unique. The primary key by definition is unique, but if you want another column to be unique, you can put that constraint in. And then there are the related thing, which is indexes. And indexes are to be able to set up an index to a field like patient name so that you can go in and access patient name quickly and easily. And I think we looked at most of these. So I'm just going to scroll down, and I think the exercise that we did last week covered it. Everything they are. I'm just looking to see if I have anything that. There's the not null constraint. Okay, and there's, we didn't talk much about indexes, but there's create an index. Okay, so I'm creating an index, and I called it ID number index, on the table name address 1, and specifically the field ID number NA. So I index the ID number. Lots of times that would be a primary key, so I wouldn't index it, because the primary key takes care of it. The next one down shows that you can have an index made up of two things. So if I have the first name and the last name in separate fields, I can still make up an index made up of last name, comma, first name. Okay. And I can create an index. I created it on a numeric field on the salary. And I created that one descending order. To drop an index, I have the drop. Okay. And then I went I had not moved this around. Okay, you can then alter the table by adding a primary key. This one doesn't have a constraint on it, so it's not going to have a name for the constraint. But it still is adding the primary key. And then I went down and added a foreign key, and that is still adding the foreign key. Okay, so I've got alter table, add the foreign key, pay and pay code, references pay 1, and it is coming back at me here and say, wait a minute, you don't have a table A1. Okay? So you can't do that. And so I then went in and made pay one. And once I've made pay one, then I can go back in and create the foreign key. Okay? But I had to make the table pay one. And then I had to make sure that it had an index. And I could have created the index at the same time I did the create table. Or I can create the table and then add in the indexes. And with this little set, I didn't use constraints to give them a name. So I said, create the pay one, alter that table to get the primary key or pay code. So now I went back to name address and said, add a foreign key based on N pay code and reference pay one. And pay one has a primary key of pay code. So N pay code is going to reference into pay code. Again, they don't have to be the same name because it's going into the key. But before I created the foreign key, I not only had to create the table, I had to give it a primary key. Because a foreign key has to go into a primary key. Questions? Okay, the next one is just more on primary and foreign keys. And what I did on this one is I've got a bunch of tables that we're going to look at. Okay, so the first one is the inventory table. Okay, so I've got the inventory table. It is bright. And the primary key on the inventory table is going to be the item number. So down here, after I said inventory's been around for a long time, and I said, okay, now alter the table inven, add a constraint, item number PK, so I gave it a constraint this time. I could have just said primary key. And I said the primary key was item number. Okay? So I've now added the primary key of item number. And if you go down a little further, you can see that I went in and saw the constraints and it's got an item number PK in there. Okay, so then I set up the department table. Okay? And the department table and the department table has a department number, which is the primary key. Okay, so I have the department table. I altered it and added a primary key on department number. Okay, so then I kept going, and I said, okay, now at this point, the inventory table has a department on it. Okay, if you scroll back up, you can see that the inventory table has a department number on it. So now I've come down here, and I can alter the table inventory. It has a department number on it, and I can reference department table. So I now reference this. This is a foreign key. Okay, it's the department that is referencing in the department that goes with inventory. So I've got a foreign key going on there. Okay. So now I go down. Okay. And on this one, I ran into a problem because it couldn't find the right department. I tried putting in a department that didn't exist. And so I get into trouble if I try to do that. Okay, because once I've set up the foreign key, then the only departments that I can have are departments that will link into the department table. I can't have a department that won't link in. And so I can run into problems there. Okay, so now I come down and I have a customer table. Okay, so I've now set up another table, and this one is inventory customer. So these are the customers that I'm going to have in the table. And there it is. And I have a customer ID. And so I'm setting up the customer ID as the primary key. So I went in and said, add the constraint, and gave it a name, primary key customer ID. So inventory customer now has the customer ID. Okay? Now, in a minute, we're going to deal with sales rep. And so the inventory has on it a field down here called sales rep. Okay? And I have a table that is called SALSREP. And I made the primary key of that SALSREP. Not the greatest idea in the world. As I told you, I made a mistake there. I meant to make it SLS so that they would both map. But I didn't, and so I left it that way to kind of show it. And so I've now got the sales rep as the primary key. And so the next thing I'm going to do is put in the foreign key. And the foreign key is going to be the sales rep down to that. So there is the foreign key. So sales rep, the inventory customer, links into sales rep. Okay. So then I keep going, and I've got an orders table. Okay. So I've got one more table, and that's orders. And on my orders table, I made the primary key of order number. So that's my primary key there. So then I went down below and said, okay, the customer ID is on the orders table. And it has an order number, it has a customer ID. Okay. And that customer ID references over to that. So there's a foreign key that goes in to tell me what customer it is. So when I'm printing out the invoice or printing out whatever I need to print out, I have on the order the customer ID, I go over to the inventory customer and pick up their address and all the other things that I need in order to be able to send it out. And then when I keep going down, I make an order line table. So I've now got my order line table. And I look at that, and the primary key is order number and item number. So together, those are the primary key. So I've got order number and item number.
So one table can have two primary
keys? Yes. Can have two, not two primary keys, two parts. The primary key can be made up of two fields, or the primary key can be made up of three fields or four fields. The primary key can be made up of a combination of fields, but there's still only one primary key. Okay? But the primary key is made up of a combination of fields. So the order number and the item number go together to make up the primary key. Then I said, okay, now set up some foreign keys. So alter the table order line and make the order number reference the orders table. I think I'll start using a different color. So that reference is over there. And then where is the item number going to reference in there? The inventory. Item number goes with inventory. So that's going to be a foreign key that goes in over there. Okay? So I set up two foreign keys down here. The order number references into the orders table and gets the primary key, and the item number references into the inventory table to the primary key. Okay? So I've set up a whole lot of foreign keys as well as primary keys here. Yeah.
So the foreign key is between two tables?
Yes. The foreign key is a link between the two tables. And it says it's saving ink notes, and then it says it again. Okay. Anytime now. And I don't trust that that did it, so I'm doing it again. Okay, so those are the tables that we set up here. And when you go through and try to add something, it will make sure, for example, that you don't put something on the order line table that has an invalid item number. Or that you don't put something on the order line table that has an invalid order number. So the link has to work in order for it to be able to take the data. So if I try to add into order line something that isn't part of an order, because order line is the line items that go with an order, right? So I shouldn't have an order I shouldn't have an order number over here if there's no order to go with it. Okay, so it won't let me do that. And it won't let me order an item that I don't carry. So setting up the foreign keys also gives you a certain level of protection. Now later on we'll get into a thing that if I remove a key, that can cause real problems. But if I remove a key, I can do a cascade comment, and we'll see that, which means that it will adjust everything accordingly. You no longer have a primary key on orders, well, then you can't have a foreign key linking in there. Because if the primary key is gone, the foreign key is no longer valid. And so it will make that go away.
Cascading will take care of taking out the primary key.
Yeah. We'll take out the other things that... Because you took out a primary key, the other things that would have gotten messed up, it will fix. Okay, so now if I come down here, I tried inserting some things, and I can't do the insert that if, you know, for a customer that doesn't exist and so forth. And so here I tried to put an order in that doesn't exist. And so basically the ones that go down here are all where I violated the problem. I tried to put in an order number that didn't exist in the order. I tried to put an item number that didn't exist. It could have, I didn't, but I tried to put in a department that doesn't exist, and I tried to put in a customer that doesn't exist. And those are all going to cause problems. So thinking this through and establishing it is, as I've said before, something that should not be done individually. You should have people checking you when you design a database and not designing it on your own. And there should be conversations that are happening about the best way to set it up and how to make the links work and all of that. It's not an easy thing to do. Okay, so when you're designing a database, you know, it should be something where you have collaboration between IT people and business people and come up with the thing that is going to work. Questions? I'm going to take the ink and make it go away now. More on key questions, and this was just kind of questions that came up. I can do a constraint name and the column name, which tells me what column that constraint is on. I can drop everything, so I can say, drop a primary key, drop a primary key, drop a constraint, drop a foreign key. I can say I alt a table with a disable constraint, so if I need to disable it for a while, it will disable it. If you add the cascade option, you can disable dependent constraints. You can then activate them again with the enable constraint. So I can, the problem that you ran into with the null, I can just, instead of getting rid of it entirely, I can disable it and then enable it after I've done my thing. You can now use the cascade clause with a drop to drop a primary key and all associated links. So basically, if I drop with a cascade, then I am getting rid of all of the primary keys, that link, all of the foreign keys that link into that primary key. So I went in and I dropped a primary key and then I checked and things were gone. And that's an experiment that I would look over. I did it with a cascade swap. So this is how you do the cascade. I said, all little table, drop the primary key, cascade. So that means that anything that is linked into that, it will drop. Okay? Yeah?
I have a cool question. Not about any of that, but...
oh, excuse me.
Well, this is a cool key example. The thing we did last week with the tables and we started using the keys and stuff like that.
Right.
You want to just to show you a description for that and send you that, or well, because it's under assignments. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what you want me to send you.
I want you to do that handout that we did.
Oh, that's right. That's what I mean. You want us to just show you a description of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Let me go back and look.
All right.
And I am going to think bad thoughts about you making me go back here right now for a moment, since I thought I was on a trail. Okay, which one? Which one?
Oracle key example?
Yes.
Yeah, we did that last week.
That's right.
You gave us a piece of paper.
That's right. And that's what I wanted you to do.
Okay.
As I wanted you to do it and then pass in the proof that you did it, basically. Because I think that that was a good practice of working with this thing.
So just show you descriptions of the
Yeah.
There's a road for me to take a path on. I know. I just, we were on a whole trip then. That was a good session right there.
So basically those are the keys and the indexes. And I'm going to give you an assignment this weekend that will go through that. You do know we don't have classes on Thursday, right?
This Thursday? Why?
This Thursday. The professional day.
Good thing you told us.
Yeah. I'm not sure what
you're like. You ain't
the outside door. I'm like this whole week to try to get that done.
Oh, Thursday's a good day for me to get you too.
Okay, notice the line up here. There is no class on Thursday.
That should be bold.
That should be bold.
Oh, you want me to read the bold?
Yeah.
Oh, the bold italics on the line and bold.
Yeah. The only things I really look for is the assignments, you know what I'm saying? Anything other than that, I know it's important.
Yeah, I don't think it matters.
You're not supposed to tell me that. Let's keep that our little secret. Okay. You mean all the rest of this stuff that I put up?
Well, no. See, you know what it is. If I need something, I just go straight to the presentation.
I go to the handouts, you know? I go to that stuff when I need it. You know?
Yeah.
But usually,
it's like I can get it, you know?
Refer to the assignment. It's the most important.
Okay. So anyway, basically between those, I think we have covered what a primary key is, what a foreign key is, and the constraints that you can put in to try to make the data a little more accurate. Okay. More on views. We're kind of wrapping things up now is what we're basically doing. So we're going to look up more on views and then look down at the rest of them. What we're going to do next week is start PLSQL. And PLSQL is the programming language for SQL. So what you do then is you write a programming language and you stick SQL into the programming language. But the problem is that SQL doesn't let you do everything, so you need a programming language around it where you can do things like if statements. And process one record at a time, because that's select statements give you a collection of data, but they don't really let you go in and individually process each record. And PLSQL does. So that's what we're going to look at next time. Okay, so more on views. And this is just a few little additional things. When you create a view, you can do, instead of create, you can say create or replace, which means that if it is new, it will create. If it already exists, it will replace what already exists. So you want to be careful with that, because you may not want to replace what already exists. You may want a different version of it. So the create or replace can wipe out something that exists. Okay, the old version will be replaced. And so my comment is there is just to be careful when you use create or replace. You may find it better to just use a create if you're creating a new one. And then it will tell you if a duplicate exists. And you can change the name. But create or replace automatically replaces the old version. Okay. And again, the difference between a view and a table is that a table has data in it. A view does not. A view is telling you how to create the data. And it creates the data for you to use, and it does it every time you want to use the view, so that it gives you the current data. And here I'm creating a view, and I decided that I wanted to change the name. So I'm saying select item number, but call it item underscore NO. And then select item name and call it item underscore name. And so I went through and created totally different names, yeah.
I thought view was a virtual table, isn't it?
What do you mean by virtual table, I guess? Define what you mean by virtual table.
I guess it creates a virtual clone of the original table, doesn't it?
No, it creates a collection of fields. So here I've created a view that is going to be made up of an item number, an item name, an item price, and number audit. And in creating that view, it is linking the order line information to the inventory information based on item number. So it then creates that structure, okay? And it populates that structure with the current data. But if I went back and add five records in, and I then looked at the view, it would repopulate the structure so that the five new records would show up. Okay, so it's creating a structure, and the structure can be of information from one table, or in this case, information from two tables, or information from three tables, but it's making a structure. And if it put the data in it, then the data would not change. But with a view, you can change the data so that when you add something to the order line, yeah, well, the next time you look at this view, you'll see that something you added.
Okay. But if you update the view alone, it doesn't change the original table, correct?
No, it doesn't touch the table.
Right.
The table is there. It changes the structure. So if I update or create, I am changing structure. View is about structure. Whereas table is about both the structure and the data that's inside the structure. Or at least that's the way I like to think of it, is that it's just about structure because it revises it. Now, in fact, behind the scenes, heavens only knows what it does with the old view and then checking for new, and I have no idea. And they don't want me to have an idea because that's a trade secret, how they handle these things. Okay, so here I created a view and another way of changing the names. Okay, so I said create the view, and I'm going to call it item number, item name, item cost, item price. Item number now in this new table is what was on inventory called item number is now on this new table with item MNO. And what was on the original table inventory as item name is now in the view as item NAM. And I've only put records in where the cost is greater than 15. Okay, so it creates the view. I can look at the view, but the reason I say that the data isn't permanent there is that if I then go back and add some records to InVen and run the view again, it will incorporate the new records that I added to InVen into the view. Okay, so a view isn't static. A table is. You know, to change data on a table, you have to do an update. OK, Okay, guys, look up occasionally and pretend you're actually paying attention. In this particular case, I did an update of a view. And you can do that. And then it is made the change. So I went in and I said select asterisk from disord 2. And the one I'm going to be changing is the 2222, which is building blocks, because I said update disorder 2. Set item cost equal to 48 for item number 2222. Item cost was 23 there, now it's being changed to 48. So I made that change in the view, and I said select asterisk from the view, and it's now showing the 48. So then I went back to the inventory table, which is where this came from. And if you look at 2222, it has now got the 48. Okay. So it actually made the change to, because I used the update, it made the change to the table data. So it made the change within the view, but it also made it on the table. I don't like this particular thing. It just makes me nervous, I guess, more than anything else. If I wanted to change something on inventory, I'd go in and do an update to inventory and not do an update to a view. It works. It's fine. It's more psychological than anything else, that I just don't like the idea of changing the view and having it impact the data. So I want to keep my impact of the data very much involved with just the files. So I don't do this, but that doesn't mean other people don't and doesn't mean you shouldn't. It's just that I don't like it. Okay, I like to do the maintenance on the table itself.
There's no way to prevent that.
Well, it's not a matter of preventing it.
If you don't want to change
it. I just wouldn't do it. When I want to change my data on my table, I want to go and change the data on the table and not change the view. It just, I don't know, it bothers me. The other thing is I may have dependencies, and if I'm changing the view, I'm not going to be changing something else. For example, if I'm changing the cost, in reality, I probably want to change the price. Okay?
So because you used update, it changes the table?
Yes. Because notice down here,
yeah,
the
I know
table
that's changing.
Change. And I think part of it is that if I might not have had item price in this view, and if I want to change cost, I definitely want to change price. I mean, my cost deal is 23, and so I could sell it for $27.98. Now I made my cost 48. I certainly don't want to sell it for $27.98. Okay? Or I'm losing money on this little operation, huh?
So unless you want to give it away for free.
Well, it's more than giving it away for free. It's, you know, it's a negative. And so if price hadn't been in that view, I might have forgotten about changing price. So I guess it's a matter of that when I want to change data on my table, I like to see the whole table. I like to, you know, make sure that I'm impacting the things that I want to act. It just doesn't seem safe to me. And as I said, I know that that's, you know, somebody else would say you're nuts. It's fine, etc. But it just, to me, it doesn't seem safe. And so I avoid doing it. And that's not to say you should avoid it. You can make your own decision about it. I'm just nervous.
Make sure there is something.
So there's one of the things that I can do here is I can also put a constraint on it. In the example, I'm putting a constraint on the view, which means that through the view, I cannot change any cost so that it falls below the criteria, which is item cost greater than 15. So I basically said that I can't make a change here. I can put a constraint on it. Okay. So I can't go in and change it to be lower than 15. So I added a bat and ball. I inserted in here a bat and a ball, and the bat and ball was 18 costs, so that was fine. And then I tried to insert in here something for $14.99, and that wouldn't go because it was below $15. But this bothers me too. I am now inserting into that a record that only has part of the information that I want when I go out on the inventory table. And so when I look at that bat and ball that I put in the bat and ball by doing an insert, which has gone by, but I did an insert of bat and ball, and notice all the fields that don't have any data in them. So again, I made a change. I added something to the inventory table, but I only have the four fields that were in the disord 3 table, and I'm not putting anything in anything else. So I've added what I would call very incomplete data there. And so that's the other reason that I tend to avoid doing an insert or an update on a view, because I'm not having the whole picture. Okay, there's the insert. So I did an insert into the view. It is now on the table, but it's missing on hand, on order, reorder point, whatever the department, item, and location. It's missing all of those things. Whereas if I did the update in an inventory, maybe I would have remembered that I needed those things. So for all those reasons, I just think it is safer to say, when I'm going to update the inventory table, I'm going to update the inventory table, not some random view that's floating around. You can also set up a view that's a read-only. Okay, so read-only means nobody can make changes. They can look but don't touch. Okay? And so that's one way of protecting the data, is to let people see views of it but on read only. And then to drop a view is drop view. Okay, information on database objects. This one is kind of interesting, I guess. There are 5 database objects covered in this course: table, view, index, sequence, and synonym. We have looked at table, view, and index. And now we're going to look at sequence. Okay. So, the sequence generator. Okay, the sequence generator can be used to generate data for columns that are unique numbers in sequence. an obvious application for the generator is the creation of primary keys. The sequence generator allows you to set a value to increment by, a value to start with, a maximum and minimum value, etc., etc. Okay? So, in this first one, I call the sequence ID number. It starts with 1,000 and increments by 1. Okay. So I'm creating a sequence. I'm looking to see if there's anything more. You really should read that paragraph. Even though it's not underlined in italics and bold, you should still read that paragraph.
I have it all.
Okay. So I said, create sequence ID number. Increment by 1 every time you go through it. Start with 1,000. The max value you can have is 1999. No cash means the Oracle will not keep a certain amount in value, memory, etc. And no recycle means that it won't just start over with a new number. So I create this sequence. Once the sequence has been created, it can be used in tables. Next value can be used to retrieve the next available sequence value, and current value can be used to retrieve the current value. The way this works is when you use next value, a new sequence number is generated, and the current one is then placed in current value. So I said here, create a table called test sequence. And I am going to create the table. It's going to have an ID, a name, and an amount. Okay? So now I am saying, I've got this sequence that I created above that is create sequence ID number. So I've got a sequence called ID number. So when I come down here to do the insert, I'm inserting into a table, and this is the table I made, a table to test sequence number. I'm inserting into that table the next value of the ID number sequence. So I created the sequence. It's a standalone thing. And I'm now saying, insert the next value, and also insert John Doe, and also insert 500, okay? And so it will insert, and it made it 1,000, okay? So it was starting with 1,000. The first thing I did, it made the ID 1,000. The next thing would make the ID 1,001, and so forth. But I messed it up. And the reason I messed it up, or the way I messed it up, is that I then said, show me the current value and the next value. And what it does is it takes the next value and puts it back into current value and messes up the sequence. So basically, you never want to ask to see current value, because if you ask to see current value, it's going to mess things up. So the next time I do an add, it comes up, I did an add, and because I had messed it up, current value got put, the 1001 got put in there. So the next record I had the 1,002, and it ended up skipping one because I had said I wanted to see the current value, and it just messed the whole thing up. So you basically never want to ask to see the values. You just want to trust that they're going to work. So I went in and did Anne, which was a, did an insert, and she got 1,002. And then I did another insert with NextVal and got 1,003, and it would have kept going like that. Okay. So now I'm dropping that sequence because I messed it up. So I'm going to drop the sequence. Okay. A sequence can be altered using alter sequence. However, only future numbers are altered. It doesn't alter what happened. Okay, so let's look at an example down here that's a much simpler one. I said create a sequence to partner number. Increment by 2, start with 2, maximum value is 12. So I said, all right, insert into test sequence 1, which is a table I have, the value from department number, next value, and then CIS in 1500. So it puts in 2 CIS 1500. 15,000, all right. Details. So then I say, okay, now insert another one. And I don't look at next value and current value, I just do say, do the next one. And so it does the next one, and the next one says 4, because I said each time increment by 2. Start with 2, increment by 2. So the first one was 2, the next one was 4. Okay? And then I kept going, and I got to 6, 8, 10, and 12. And 12 was the maximum value. So then when I tried to do it one more time, it came back and told me that I had exceeded the maximum value. So I couldn't do it. So at that point, I said, okay, I'm going to alter the sequence and make the maximum value 100. Okay, and I can do that with the looking ahead. So I made the maximum value 100, and then I did an insert, and I got the 14. So by changing the maximum value to 100, I can now put in the 14, 16, 18, 20, and so forth. Okay. So what's the value of this? The value of this is if you have multiple people coming up with data, let's say invoices, and you have somebody in the Fall River office putting in invoices, and you're working off the web, or working off a server at least, and somebody somewhere else is putting them in, by using that next value, you don't intersect and have two people putting in the same thing because you're all using the same sequence. And if you're all using the same sequence, the person in Fall River puts it in and the next thing that the person in Canton wants to put in will be the next number up. So they're all using the sequence number. You know, it's keeping track of the sequence number with 1,000 people trying to use it, and it will all keep track of it for you.
The increment
could be altered as well, yes, but it wouldn't do anything to the past. But if I changed it and said I want to increment only by 1 from now on, then from now on it would be incremented by 1, but it wouldn't do anything to the past. No, it wouldn't change anything in the past. And these are create indexes, which I think we've looked at. Synonyms just create another name for an object. So if I say create synonym, I'm not reading that.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Okay. So that is creating a synonym. And then the last thing is a script. And basically, I think you have all done a script, so I'm trying to... I don't think there's anything on there that you haven't done. I think we're set on that. You've all created scripts, I'm assuming. Okay? So that's just running through how to create a script. So basically, that wraps up what we're doing with plain Oracle. Okay? So the next thing we will get into is PLSQL. Okay? Oh, it is. So, we'll get into PLSQL next time. I'm not going to start it with 15 minutes to go, so you're done early today. So if you have any questions or whatever, we will look at them.